I'm delighted to have you back in our discussion. We're going to delve deeper into the practice and focus on strategies to break free from power struggles with our children. But before we start, I'd like you to reflect on a strong statement that holds profound insights into our everyday interactions and our journey to enhance the quality of our relationships with our children. The statement follows. The foundation of parent-child relationships lies within the parents' hands. The children are not the problem. In my teachings about parent-child relationships, this theme comes up repeatedly. I stress the fact that the responsibility of building a strong, healthy, and trustful relationship with our children is ours to bear. This relies heavily on a shift in our reactions and behaviors. Understanding and accepting this truth is transformative. It makes half our journey easier to navigate. Now, let's venture into the heart of our topic. How can we untangle ourselves from these power struggles with our children? We begin by recognizing a key fact. When a parent and a child fight, there's no victor. Both end up losing. More importantly, we should never forget that our children are not our enemies. When disagreements arise, it's imperative to know when and how to step back. To do so, we must cultivate a capacity to remain calm, resisting the temptation to project our feelings of helplessness. When we shout, express anger, lose our temper, enforce punishments, or issue threats, we inadvertently signal to our children that we are helpless and bereft of solutions. Put yourself in the child's shoes for a moment. They are swamped in a turbulent sea of emotions, feeling lost and fearful. They crave stability, an anchor, a rescuer from the terrifying waves of anger. This anger is daunting. They are terrified of their own emotional tumult and are in dire need of assistance. How should we respond in such moments? Regrettably, we often dive into the tempest with them. We get swept up in this emotional storm because we're also upset, which leads us to shout, threaten, provoke, and punish. Consequently, both parent and child become trapped in a continuous destructive cycle, a tempest with no apparent exit. Therefore, it is of utmost importance that we demonstrate to our children that anger can be managed. Anger is an emotion we're likely to encounter multiple times throughout our lives. Isn't it better to encounter it in a controlled environment at home where we can learn to handle it, instead of letting it run rampant? We need to master our anger, understand how to regulate our own rage. Initially, the task lies with us, the parents. We need to understand and learn how to manage this powerful emotion. So how do we go about this? What strategies can aid us in handling our anger? If our goal is to maintain composure and act as a stable anchor for our children, we need to first learn how to keep our own anger under control. What can we do to regain calmness? It's important to ask ourselves, what could make me feel calm in that exact moment? I might need my spouse's assistance, his ability to intervene and take control, giving me a chance to step back and find tranquility. If he's not noticing my discomfort, I might need to communicate my need for help clearly, saying something like, "I need your support right now. Please be with me. I need to relax." If I find myself alone, a straightforward approach could work, like telling the child, "I need a few minutes to regain my calm," then moving to a different room to find peace. The best method varies from person to person and should be chosen according to one's comfort. If you feel someone's support could help, give it a try. If it's not helping, try different things and learn various ways to handle stress. The next important point is accepting that it's okay to be angry. We should embrace our feelings. It's natural to feel angry if someone upsets us. We can simply express it by saying, "This is making me upset." For instance, if a child uses disrespectful language, let them know how it impacts you. "It upsets me when you don't speak to me respectfully. Let's talk about this later. I need a few minutes to regain my calmness and then walk away." It's perfectly okay to express such feelings. Anger is a normal emotion, and it's crucial to learn how to navigate it. Once we master this, our children will also learn to do the same. When I say, "I need a few minutes to calm down," it doesn't mean I'm leaving out of anger or slamming doors in frustration. It merely means I recognize that continuing this conflict won't yield any positive outcomes, neither for me nor for the child. If a child misbehaves by throwing toys or breaking things, express your feelings in a composed manner by saying, "I'm upset and need some time to regain my calm. When I'm calm, I will return." This gives the child reassurance that you're not abandoning them. Some parents might ignore their children in such situations, closing and locking doors. This could frighten the child and cause them to seek reassurance by reconnecting with the parent. So instead of leaving in anger, calmly express your need for a moment of quiet and move to another room. Don't leave in a way that scares the child by thinking, "Where are my parents? Will they return? Is it my fault they left?" Avoid escalating such situations. Fear can provoke even more extreme behavior. If you leave the room in anger, they might start acting out more aggressively. Therefore, maintain composure. Accept that it's okay to feel angry and request a few minutes to relax. If there's something else that helps you, go ahead and do it. Communication is key. Another important point is choosing your battles wisely. Ask yourself, what's within my control and what's not? Identify what you can handle with peace and what you find challenging to accept. Some parents may refuse a particular solution, saying, "No, we can't do that." While others might welcome the suggestion, "Yes, we hadn't considered that and were open to trying it." For example, I worked with a family where the daughter would invariably forget to wear socks to school during the morning rush. When would she recall, after she had already descended the stairs, this situation would spark a daily argument between her and her parents, leading to a heated atmosphere as they left the house. In our discussions, we realized that the girl struggled with sensory regulation. Wearing socks was uncomfortable for her. Therefore, she would postpone it until the very last minute, which inevitably ignited an argument about who would go upstairs to fetch the socks. Recognizing this, I offered them a straightforward solution they hadn't previously contemplated because they were fixated on their irritation about her reluctance to retrieve her own socks. I suggested, "Let's unpack the problem." Understanding the root cause, which is her sensory regulation issue, we can tailor a solution. Since she finds socks uncomfortable and delays wearing them, what if we provide an easier option? So, I advised them to keep a box of socks downstairs. That way, she had a stash of socks both in her upstairs drawer and in a convenient location downstairs. When she'd arrived downstairs, having forgotten to wear socks until the last moment, she could easily slip them on, and they could leave without the daily skirmish. This simple strategy helped them avoid minor everyday conflicts. It was detrimental to their morale to start each day with a confrontation. It negatively impacted their relationships, likely carrying over into further arguments in the car, leaving the girl upset and tearful as she headed to school. By avoiding these scenarios, they eased their stress and opened up the possibility of many different solutions. Let's take an example of children who resist doing their homework, creating a daily struggle. I'll use an instance from my own life with my son. I'd often pressure him, urging, "Come on, do your homework. However, he would resist, preferring to play on his iPad, watch television, or engage in other activities. At a certain point, I took a step back and reminded myself, I'm not his teacher, I'm his mother. I was blurring the roles and didn't want my insistence to spark resentment, so I shifted the responsibility onto him. I said to him, "Listen, my dear son, I understand you might not want to do your homework, but remember your teacher assigned it for Wednesday. It needs to be done. If it isn't, there's a chance you might walk into class without it, and what will you tell your teacher when she asks about it? Or, what if she asks a question based on the homework and you can't answer? That's your responsibility. If you decide to do your homework, the worksheet is ready. If you need my help, I'm here to assist you. However, if you choose not to do it, you need to understand that you're on your own. It's your responsibility." Once I placed the responsibility on him, he understood that I wasn't going to solve this problem for him. So, 2 days before the deadline, not just a day before, he came to me asking, "Mom, can you help me?" When he requested my assistance, I responded with, "Of course, I'm here to help you." We then sat down and completed his homework together, effectively resolving the issue. Essentially, I'm not interested in playing the bad cop, nor do I want to engage in unnecessary battles with him. So, I choose my approach wisely.